Hello, hello, hello. This will be the last one I'm going to do today because I feel bad for never posting. But this is Save Me Bakugo X Self-Harm Reader Part 2, My Hero Academia One-Shots by Star Wars Lover 13. Warning, this story contains self-harm and suicidal thoughts. Do not read if this affects you. After the incident, you're at your house, Kusky watched you like a hawk. When you had arrived at his house, he told his mom to get rid of any accessible sharp objects in the house, that you were staying with them for a while. His mother got the memo when he saw your tearful face and bloodied fingertips. He said she'd do it and got a room set up for you. And after that, you began to see a whole other side to Kotsky. For one, he was always making sure your existing cuts were clean and check if there were any new ones. He wouldn't ever scream or yell at you for fear that he would shatter what happiness you had left. He was extremely overprotective of you, and if anyone even hinted that they were being harsh to you, he would snap and absolutely lose it. He kept to his promise, though, making you go to counseling lessons, whether it was at school or outside of it. He was there the whole time, during your crying, yelling, and screaming. He was there. Podcast reminds you of who he would tell if you started cutting again. You definitely didn't want Mr. Izawa knowing for fear he would expel you from the hero course. Things seemed to be going better, your mood lightened up and became slightly happier, but that was all destroyed one afternoon. Everything was all right to start off the day. Well, sort of. Today was your parents' anniversary, so your emotions were all over the place. The usual knock on your door sounded and you called out to Kotsky for him to come in. Morning, you say. He doesn't reply. He just sighs. You know the drill, he says, and nods. And you nod before pulling back your sleeve to show the cut-free arms. Without saying anything, he walks back out. Thoughts started swirling in your head. What if he was getting sick of you? What if he wanted you to leave? What if he didn't care anymore? You cut those thoughts off. Of course he wasn't any of those things. He helped you this far after all, right? You get ready and made your way downstairs to the kitchen. But as you go near the dining room, you heard talking stopped. I don't think she should be here anymore, Kotsky. You're worn out just trying to keep tabs on her. I know you're trying your best, but there's only so much one person can do. I think she's well enough to look after herself now. You hear your mother say, a pit starting to form in your stomach. I don't have the heart to kick her out. She's been through so much by herself, but you're right. She started to get to me a little bit. It's like I don't have time for myself. She's outstayed her welcome. I'll tell her today that she has to leave. Kotsky says, you're nothing but a burden to him. You shove that thought out of your head. You went into breakfast like usual. You expected to be expected. It was quiet. After that, the talk Kotsky and Mitsuki had. So you quickly ate to give them space. Kotsky didn't talk to you much at school. In fact, he was keeping his distance. This caused more dangerous thoughts to travel through your head. He hates you. You just can't tell. He doesn't want you to be anywhere near. He's just your parent. He can't stand you. You push those thoughts out of your head again, although it was harder this time. By the time came around, your happy mood faltered as you saw a knife on the table. You quickly left the cafeteria to go see Kotsky. He said if you'd ever thought there's cuts to cut, if you ever thought to cut to you, you went straight to him. However, this happened next was the opposite of help. Kotsky sat in one of the chairs in the classroom with Kirishima, Sarah, and Kaminari. I just can't take it anymore. She's driving me fucking crazy. Every morning, it's checking her wrist, making sure she's happy, though the other day, trying to make sure she doesn't relapse back. But when the fuck do I get time to yourself? I'll tell you, never. You stood in the door as your best friend said those things. Kimishu turned and saw you with wide eyes as he quickly turned back to Kotsky. Bro, I think you should stop. Shut it, shitty hair. She's just getting on my nerve. I'm pretty sure she was just fucking faking it the whole time just to get in my house, I swear. This time Kaminari turned and saw you. His face turned white, and he turned back to also to stop Kotsky's harsh word. Dude, you need to stop whining. Shut your mouth, dumb face. I'm talking. The best part is, I don't get a single fucking thank you from her. She's just so much of a burden. A loud crash stopped Kotsky as he dropped your lunch tray on the floor. His eyes meet your terrified ones as they soften at the words you must have just heard. The strong mice that you've been building over the past few weeks shattered like glass. You weren't wanted anymore. You were a burden. You looked just like you said you were. You turned and ran as fast as you could, ignoring the cries from Kotsky. You ran out of the school into the streets and stopped at the bridge that ended your parents' life. You took the knife that was sitting on the table at school and started cutting down your arms. The familiar burning sensation returned as you cut both arms again and again. You cut long and deep until your arms were a mess of blood and jagged lines, blood soaking your uniform. You quickly wrote a little note about how you were sorry for burdening the world as you shoved it by your back and climbed over the railing. Mommy, Daddy, it's been so long. We'll be together soon, and we can be a family again. Nobody wanted me here anyway, so what's the point of living when I could do where and I could be with you, you thought. You take a deep breath, and you heard a jump. Don't do it, Wyan. You hear a familiar voice scream in fear. You turn your head to see Kotsky with a worried expression. Tears flooded your eyes again. And why not? No one wants me here anyway. I'm just a burden, like you said. You say, looking down at the dark water below. I didn't mean any of those things I said like that. I was just pissed, and I chose to unleash my anger into you. You were never a problem. It was me that's the problem. So come back on the side where you're safe. He said in a desperate plea to get you down, but you weren't listening. The words from before still implanted in your mind like glue. Just as you were about to jump, two arms grabbed yours and pulled you back over to safety. No, let me go, Kotsky. Just let me die so I'm not burdening the world. Let me go so I can be with my parents, you bastard. You say as you burst into tears, your emotions finally breaking. Kotsky pulled you into his arm as he cried a while. I'm sorry. I'm so goddamn fucking sorry I caused this. You were doing so well and I caused you to relapse on the day you needed me with the most. I'm so fucking sorry, Wyan, he cried as you felt hot tears hit your shoulder. After a few minutes of crying, he pulled back and looked at the mess you had made of your still bleeding wrists. Come on, we need to get you home so we can clean this up. I don't want to be a burden again. You won't. I made a promise to you myself I would look after you and will never going to break it. After that, Kotsky made sure you never felt like a burden again. He helped you through everything and eventually you stopped cutting altogether. So thanks to them. Have a great day or evening, and you look beautiful today.